children can remember what I've been trying to remind them about in the last few weeks. Hands up if you can remember. One word. One word. Yes. That's not bad. Yes. Strong. Strength. What is it to be strong? Yes. The Lord Jesus is a strong man, but that's not the answer. Yes. To be quiet. Well, that's quite good. To be quiet, you need to be very strong. Now, it's interesting that in the eyes of the world, being strong doesn't mean that. There was a film.
Hands off.
There was a film produced by Walt Disney called The Strongest Man in the World. And this man ate a bowl of cornflakes and discovered that he could pick up almost anything. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, I must have eaten just such a bowl of cornflakes. Because I was able to do what he did. He had one of these great big barbells. The things that you see these enormous men at the Olympic Games picking up. Great big weights on each end of a bar. You remember, you watched me, didn't you? I've got it here. You have to be very careful, keep your back straight. Hold on to the bar. And then you have to start lifting. What you do, you keep your arms straight. And you use your legs. You have to have all the strength in your legs. And you pick it up. I've got bad knees. Oh! And then you straighten up. Oh, like that. Then that's when you start to use your arms. So you bend forward slightly. And then you rock backwards. Oh, like that. To get it there. And then you be very careful not to fall over. And then straighten your back again. You push very hard. And eventually you get it up. And then you stand there thinking, what on earth did I do this for? Because once you've got it up there, you can't walk around like this all day, can you? What are you going to do with it?
Drop it.
Where am I going to drop it? Where shall I drop it? My toes. That's a not very nice thing to say. So drop it over here. Shall I drop it over here? I know what I'll do. Snap. Right, now I've got two halves. So one, I'll drop over there. Like that. And the other half, over here. Whoa. Now to do that, someone has to have enormous muscles in their arms and in their chest and in their legs and in fact everywhere. I wonder if anybody knows the name of someone who looks just like that. Hands up if you know someone just like that. Yes. No, he's got to have his name. Got to have his name. Yes. Muscle Man? No, his proper name. Magnus Magnusson? Don't think so. We can ask questions. Who have we got left? Isaac. Who? Who's he? Arnold Schwarzenegger. You heard of Arnold Schwarzenegger? Hands up if you've seen his films. That's very interesting because all his films are rated as at least 15s. And I can't see anybody here with their hands up who is over 15. Not even over 12. You're not 15 till next month. Right, hands down. Now that's what most people think that strength is about. That you're a strong person if you can lift up a great big weight. But they also think, at least that's what they tell you on the television, they also think that you're strong if you can go round holding something in your hand that makes a noise and then makes holes in things or in people. What sort of thing is it? Matthew. A gun. People think they're strong if they can go round with a gun and go... bang. People think they're strong because they have power over someone else. The power of being able to kill them. And you see this repeatedly on the television and in all the films. That someone says, I'm strong because I've got a gun. The use of various weapons, it might be a knife. There's that headmaster of that school that was murdered with a knife. A crowd of boys were bullying one of the pupils at his school. And they thought, look, we're strong. And then along came the headmaster, and they were so strong that they killed him with a knife. People think that's what being strong is about. We need to realise this is the sort of thing that television is teaching to our children. That you are strong if you can inflict pain upon someone else. If you can kill someone else, you're strong. Everybody wants to be strong. So they think, therefore, going around hurting other people is a good thing to do. It also tells us that the way to solve problems is to get a gun and go around and kill everybody. How to solve the problems in Bosnia? Send in the SAS. Solve the problem in no time. Of course it wouldn't, it would just create another problem. You'd probably find all the Muslims, all the Serbs, all the Croats would then for a moment say, okay, let's forget our differences, let's get rid of this lot first. Then we'll go back to killing each other. It doesn't solve any problems. What it ignores is people who have strength of will and strength of character. There's a story about one little boy, perhaps I should say girls as well. This little boy was told by his father to sit down. And he said, no. And his father said, sit down. And he said, no. And his father said, if you don't sit down, I will smack your bottom very hard. So he sat down. But then the little boy said, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. He was very determined. He had a very strong will. Some explorers are like that. Don't know if you heard on the news this morning. There's someone has been trying to walk across Antarctica. It's rather cold in Antarctica. In fact, it's very cold in Antarctica. And he was determined he was going to walk all the way. Now, I think most of us would probably have given up after the first 10 yards. Because it's so cold and windy. He got something like halfway before he gave up. He was very determined. He had a very strong will. Now you can't see a person's will. It's all inside their heads. He was very strong and very determined. Now what you remember, I know at least one person remembers, the examples I was giving you about being strong, and I was showing you all how very weak you are. And you are all proving again this morning exactly how weak you are. I've asked you before to put your hands up to tell me who thinks they're strong, and lots of hands have gone up. There's another one there, and another one there, but in fact you're very weak, because none of you can sit still. You're told, sit still. You can't sit still. you are not strong enough to stop fidgeting. If you are told to be quiet, you're not strong enough to be quiet. You can't even keep your lips together. Now look at your lips, how flabby they are. Not strong at all. You haven't got the strength to keep them shut. That's how weak you are. You think because you can go and beat someone over the head, stick a knife in them, blow them up, shoot them with a gun, you're strong. But you can't even keep your mouth shut. You can't even control that small part of your own body. You are weak. That's not the only way in which you're weak. God has given us rules to live by. Now, this is not very popular today. We are told we must not repress our desires or our emotions. We must do whatever we choose because otherwise it's bad for us. So therefore, if we want to go on and do the things that God has said we shouldn't, it doesn't matter. That's what people say. Doesn't matter if we go off with someone who isn't our husband or who isn't our wife. It doesn't matter if we do all those things that happen to take our fancy. It doesn't matter as long as it's something we like. But take that to its logical conclusion. What about those who like to steal things? Should we repress their desire to steal? Should we repress the murderer's desire to have another victim and kill someone? Is it bad to tell them there are rules and you must not do that? Well, we keep being told that we mustn't stop people doing what they want. And yet when it comes to things like stealing, rape, murder, we're told we're not allowed to do that. But God has given us rules. He's told us what is right and what is wrong. And he's told us if we do that which is wrong, he will punish us. And he's also told us that it's not just doing any of these things wrong. God says it is also wrong to think any of these things. So just because you sit down doesn't mean that you're being obedient. Because you might be sitting down on the outside, but you might be standing up on the inside. And God says to think wrong things is wrong and will be punished. The problem is that each one of us has this fatal weakness inside us. Every one of us is weak inside, and we are weak because of something called sin. Now, we all tend to think that sin is only those things that are done outwardly. And we sit there and we think, well, I don't do those things, so I don't sin. But firstly, the definition of sin that we're working on is wrong in terms of the outward things. But also the fact that just thinking wrong things is sin. And all these wrong things that you and I have done will be punished by God. Every one of them. God has a much better memory than I have. God can remember all the things that I've done in my life. God can remember everything that you've done. Hands up, how many of you can remember bad things that you've done or thought in the last week? Hands up. Everybody who hasn't got their hands up has got a very bad memory. Hands down. Because we have all done or thought wrong things in the last week. Now, another question. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? That's what we're remembering at the moment. The coming of the Lord Jesus into the world. Hands up if you know why Jesus came into the world. Did Jesus come into the world so we could have a nice time at Christmas? Yes. What was Alison going to say? Very good. They know the answer. Jesus didn't come in order for us to have Christmas and give presents to each other. Although I suspect in some households it's giving presents to the children. Isn't it? How would you like it if you had to give presents to everybody else in your house as well? Mummy, please take a note. Oh, excellent. I'm going to have a present for my son. Jesus came into the world for a very good reason. Let me read to you one of the verses in the Bible that tells us why Jesus came. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. We're told this. For when we were still without strength, when we were weak, without strength, in due time, that's at the right time, just at the appropriate moment, Christ died for the ungodly. That's not a nice thing to say. That says that we are ungodly. He goes on and he talks about us in other ways as well. Says that we're unrighteous. The Bible tells us that we are wicked. The heart of everyone is deceitfully wicked and corrupt. Not one of us does the things that God has said. And it's because of that. It's because of our sin, because of our rebellion against God, that Jesus Christ came into the world for us, in order to save us from the punishment that we deserve for our sins. And do you know how he did that? It wasn't by being born. It was by dying. When Jesus died on the cross, he was punished for all the wrong things that you have ever done. And he was punished for all the wrong things that I have ever done. Does that mean that all of us have been forgiven by God? I heard someone say no. That is the right answer. Not all of us are forgiven by God. Because what God says is that just knowing that this is true is not enough. We need to trust in Jesus Christ. We need to give ourselves to Jesus Christ. We need to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and allow him to take complete control. Because only then will we have real strength and be able to resist all sin and all temptation. Now, some people think that they have great power and strength and think that they can resist. They think that they can give up things. You'll have seen films where people have been drug addicts and they have gone through many days and even weeks of great struggle and unpleasantness to come off of drugs. And they've needed internal strength to achieve that. Some of you here are smokers. Some of you perhaps would like to give up. But you find you haven't got the strength. You are weak. Some manage to do it. And some can't. But when it comes to sin, all of us are weak, and none of us have the strength to resist. We are all therefore liable to God's judgment. And so all we can do is to come to Jesus Christ and admit to him we're weak, we're helpless, and call to him and say, Lord Jesus, help me, forgive me for my sins, and I will do whatever you say. That's why Jesus came. That's what we need to do. We need to believe what he said, and we need to act upon it. We need to trust in him and obey him in everything that we do. And I hope that each one of you this Christmas will know the great joy that comes from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who turns from their sins and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is given peace with God, and they know that God has forgiven them. And I hope not only the children know that, but I hope all the adults know that as well. It's a wonderful blessing that God gives, not just at Christmas time, but at any time, that those who turn from their sins will be forgiven by God. Let's hope and pray that all of us know what that means.